gentlemen, we do not have an international incident. I have just emailed the U.S. Embassy and told them to let this case go. It appears that our Haley Hansen Kilkelly has returned to the United States of America.
Honestly, it was up in the air.
Were they trying to keep you there? They loved you so much.
Let's be honest. I owe the Mexican cartel a lot of money. Just 5 days in Mexico, and I'm already about 50 grand in the hole.
Do we need to start a GoFundMe?
Yes, get Haley out of her debts in Mexico.
Does the cartel take Venmo? I don't...
Perhaps.
Just send it to me. Just send a check directly to me, and I'll make sure it gets to them.
Let me tell you this right now. I saw the pictures online of you at the wedding. You looked stunning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was a very, very nice time, if not extraordinarily hot.
Well, it is Mexico.
I figured I'm Mexican. I'm like somewhere in my blood. I should be able to handle this. And it turns out I cannot because I passed out the second day because of heat exhaustion.
Well, but see, your blood is not, it's not the same anymore. You spent too many years in the great white north of Chicago.
Right.
And as my husband, my loving husband, reminds me, I'm only half Hispanic. The other half is Scottish. And I'm pretty sure the Scottish side came out while I was in Mexico because, man, was it hot.
Yeah, there's nothing the Scots dislike more than the heat.
Please tell me you're not going to play bagpipes on this show at any point.
Oh, I need that.
I may. Might as well.
Welcome back. So everything went well. We worried about the dress the whole time. I said she's going to be a ragamuffin and the dress is going to look terrible and she's not going to care because she's Haley. But it looked great in the photos I saw.
Thank you. Well, okay, I freaked out on the second connection to Mexico because in my mind I thought, I know I packed this dress, but what if I didn't? What if by chance I forgot it? So then for an hour I spent sitting there going in my head, okay, well, if I forgot the dress, then I'll try to find some place in the Cancun airport, a green dress that I can use instead. I mean, it was a whole thing. Luckily, I packed it. It was in one piece by the time I put it on, and not one, but three bridesmaids brought steamers.
Wow.
See?
I was shocked. I tried one steamer. It wasn't working very well. One of the bridesmaids said, hold on, let me go up to my room. And she got a giant one. I'm like, how many of you thought, you know what, I'm going to travel internationally with a steamer just in case?
I like people that are prepared like that. But let's go back for a second. Let's say you forgot to pack your bridesmaid dress, disappointing the whole group.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you have contacted Ian and me and we would have gone over to your house, gotten a thing, and then overnighted it to you? You pay enough money, you can overnight something anywhere.
But you can't guarantee it gets there on time.
Sure you can. You just have to pay some premium rate. And they're going, believe me, something that comes through Louisville tonight is headed to Mexico. Something that comes through Louisville tonight at UPS is headed to Germany. Or headed to Iceland. Or, I mean, things, they just, that's what they do.
That is true. But then let me add this to the equation. I do send you guys to my home to pick up the dress. I say, all right, it's a long dress and it's the color peacock because that's the color it was. Which one of you is going to know what
Who
that color is?
Who are you talking to? We would immediately Facebook Live you. and then we would just start showing around and you'd say, not that one, not no, dummy, not get out of that drawer, not that one, there, that's it.
That's a good point. I forgot we live in the 21st century.
Exactly.
And I don't have to send everything via, you know, typewriter or whatever.
And it's not like we'd even have to Facebook Live you. We're both married. You remember this, right?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Just have Margie go over.
Yeah, Margie, which one of these is peacock? And she would say, oh, it's that one.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Mary would have it picked out in seconds. She'd know right away what a bridesmaid dress was supposed to look like. And we would pack it gingerly packaging, bubble wrap, whatever it took to make sure that the thing was fully pressed and ready to go.
Terry would probably send a steamer with it.
Yep.
It would all be one big package. That way you open it up, you steam, you put on, you're ready to go.
It wouldn't have been Terry that steamed it, though. It would have, or sent the steamer. It would have been Mary that said, "Oh, you know what? Let's throw it in there."
Yeah.
I would have just sent it with like a warm piece of pizza. Like, yeah, maybe that'll keep it warm. I don't know.
Then you would have been into me for like $450 or whatever it took to get it overnight.
Well, you just ran. That's when you just randomly take things from Haley and Pat's apartment. You're just like, this looks like it's worth $400. I'm taking this. Let's see. No. I need another 50.
I'm looking around and I'm like, wait a minute. One of my bookends is missing, and I'm missing my nice knife from my knife set. Where'd these go?
And why is there a 20 here? Well, I think I took 500 worth of stuff, so I left you a little change.
Oh, what a nice man that Terry Miners.
Tell us that how the event went, though. Did it all come off according to the bride's plan?
Well, yes, but she did drop the rings in the sand.
Whoa.
Oh, hope they weren't white gold.
They were. And it was the funniest and also the most stressful thing I've ever witnessed, because I was kind of in the back of the lineup. She had 11 bridesmaids, so I was in the sort of back, and I couldn't hear what was being said most of the time, but I saw the looks of shock and just the horror in the mother of the bride's eyes.
So what happened? Did everybody get on the ground like they were looking for a contact lens?
No, it was just the bride and the groom just kind of sifting through sand, and they eventually found it, but it took a minute. Like, it took a second, and I thought, oh God, this is not a good start to the marriage.
Oh, that'd have been rough.
But they got it. It was beautiful. She looked gorgeous. I mean, it was beautiful. It was a lovely day. The ocean was behind you, and you could hear the waves crashing against the rocks. And it was beautiful.
But why Cancun and not South Carolina, where you can hear the waves crashing?
You know, that's what I wondered when I was paying for the all-inclusive. I was like, you know, there are some really nice beaches in Western Kentucky at Green River Lake. Yeah. We could have gone there, but you know, it was a lovely getaway. She and her husband are there until Friday, so they get a 2-week vacation out of it. So I can't knock them for that.
You used the key words, though, why they picked Mexico. And what were they? All inclusive.
I was talking to Paul Miles today. I have never consumed so many strawberry banana daiquiris in my entire life, and I don't think I ever will.
And didn't have to pay for a one of them, at least not while you were there.
No, yes. Not a one.
You paid for it in the package somehow.
You pay for it before you get there, but it feels better when you don't have to get money or a credit card out of your wallet when you're ordering the drinks. It's well, this is nice.
Just looking at the waitress and going, just bring me, you know what, just bring me five. We'll make it easier for you. Just bring the whole bar down. We'll make it easy.
So you got in the Uber or whatever it was when you got to the airport because you texted a picture of yourself holding a beer, a Corona. Was that cold or was that Mexican style warm?
It was warm, but I got in the driving service to go to the resort. He said, "Do you all want something to drink?" I said, "Yes, I'd love a water." And he said, "You're in Mexico. We don't have water." And he handed me a Corona.
Love
how
it.
Cool is that?
Well, cool in more ways than one, because he saved you from actually drinking the water. You may not have made the wedding if you had.
That's a very good point. That's very true. So, I mean, it was the second we got in Cancun, it was a party.
Did you get a second beer on the ride, or was you limited to one?
No, because I took the beer, I took the picture, sent it to you guys, I took a sip, and then realized I don't like beer, and I especially don't like beer when it's warm, so I gave Pat mine, so he had three on the 25-minute drive to the resort.
Pat felt good by the time you got there.
Yeah, he's like, might as well.
What time of day was the wedding?
It was 5:00, so right before the sun went down.
So did you have a big, you know, buffet lunch and you got a big old pumpkin in your stomach? Oh, and now he's like, oh, now I got to go get in that little dress.
Well, yeah, because it's all inclusive, because every meal you have to gorge yourself.
Of course
you just
you do.
Have to. So bless her heart, the bride, as most brides are. I was not like this, but most brides are very anxious and they don't want to eat. So the bride was kind of like that. The mother of the bride was like that. And I'm like, could I get the steak fritter? And then could I also get a creme brulee to go on top? Yeah, double the fries. And then I want two Coke. You want a Coke? No, we want a Diet Coke. And just, I mean, I was out of control. I was in my element.
What you have to do. All inclusive.
And luckily, because it was so hot, we sweat so much that I think I lost weight. So the dress fit fine.
Fantastic. Now, what happens to the dress going on in your life? Does it get thrown in a closet? Do you give it to Goodwill because you can't wear it again? What's the deal?
Right now it's sitting on my chair. It has to go to the dry cleaners because I have to wear it again for the second wedding here in Louisville.
Oh, that's right.
So this dress has been through the ringer. It's not only covered in sweat, but I also walked into the ocean with it. So there's ocean water all on the bottom and probably a few mixed drinks. So it's getting dry cleaned and we're hoping that it's acceptable for wedding number two.
Well, if not, you just say, refer to the pictures from wedding number one. How about that? Let's move on, shall we?
Right. Or I'll just sit in the back. Yeah, I don't need to be in pictures again.
Here's a fun gag for the second wedding. Right when they get ready for the ring ceremony, why don't you have somebody wheel out like a cat's litter box filled with sand and say, let's do that again. And have them drop it in there.
One more time.
Just for old time's sake. That would be awesome.
Arriba!
We are glad you're home, Haley. It's Haley and the Knobs on News Radio 840 WHS. Lots to get to in this hour, including Jussie Smollett back in court.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's your hometown. He tried to pull a fast one, and now he's still being pulled back into court because of some lawyer shenanigans. We'll explain it in a few here on News Radio 840 WHS.
Driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see mama and her daddy with the baby in the backseat.
Baby in the backseat.
50 miles to go and she was running on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year.
Long, hard year.
She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass.
Oh boy.
She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air.
What'd she say, Terry?
She said, Jesus, take the wheel.
That is probably how she said it. Yeah. Jesus.
Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, my goodness. This dovetails with this story that I was just reading a few minutes ago about a woman in Beechwood, Ohio, wherever that is. Either of you know where that is?
No.
Look it up.
Beechwood, Ohio. What is her name here? Officers responding to an accident where a car had knocked down several power lines, a utility pole, and crashed into a home.
Oof.
According to a police report, they don't have the name here listed. She's 31 years old. She approached the officers and said, hey, I'm the one who's driving the car. My 11-year-old daughter was in the front passenger seat. Both mother and daughter taken to the hospital for evaluation. Traffic cameras, I just watched the video, showed the woman's vehicle heading south on Richmond Road in Beechwood, Ohio, at more than 100 miles per hour. It drives through an intersection, hits a car, but only hits it right on the front. So the car that's the innocent car, the front bumper blasts off, and that car that's going 100 miles an hour keeps going, just flying down the road, and then swerves and hits some utility poles and a house.
Multiple utility poles.
Nobody's injured, believe it or not.
What?
At the hospital, officers did not detect any sign of impairment from drugs or alcohol. The woman told police she intentionally drove at the high rate of speed and through the red light to, quote, test her faith with God.
Johnny, I agree. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, Johnny's very upset about it. She told the police she's been going through some trials and tribulations and was recently fired from her job. The woman said she, quote, let go and let God take the wheel.
And you said her 11-year-old daughter was
exactly.
Okay.
She faces charges including felony assault, endangering a child, driving under suspension. I mean, what a genius.
So do you think in her mind she was proven correct or wrong? Because technically no one was injured.
She got no injuries.
But she did crash into a house, take down several power lines, and she owes the guy a new bumper.
Right. Come on, Lord, take the wheel. Okay, now in another traffic situation, we've learned more about the Richard Sherman situation, the NFL player from last night. Ian, you said what, he's a free agent now?
Yeah, he is a current free agent. His deal in San Francisco expired at the end of last season.
So. We heard about him getting arrested at 2 o'clock this morning. We thought it was a domestic violence issue, but there's more to the story. Here's Alex Stone from ABC News. Alex?
Police in Redmond, Washington say it was late Tuesday night when they were told NFL star Richard Sherman was traveling toward the city. He's accused of leaving his badly damaged vehicle on a freeway off-ramp after hitting a concrete barrier, then walking or running toward a family member's home. Early in the morning on Wednesday, police were called to a home for a burglary in progress. Sherman was allegedly trying to break into that family member's home. Police say Sherman fought with officers. A canine was deployed. Sherman was booked for domestic violence, residential burglary. Alex Stone, ABC News.
That's not good.
Ugh.
Jesus, take the wheel. Well, we'll find out what happens to Richard Sherman. But he was clearly not welcome at that family home for some reason.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, that's the end of that. We got to find a new strategy here. We're driving somewhere. It's 2 in the morning. You can't just say, you know what, I'm going to relax. Like some of these Tesla people. We see these idiots in these Teslas, and they're leaning back with their hands behind their head and those cars on auto drive. You're not supposed to do that. They say, well, there's ways to trick the sensor that's on the steering wheel. I've seen that online where they put water bottles in there or tennis balls.
Why? Just drive
like hands
the
are
car.
Drive the car, moron. There are other people in cars. You're risking their lives. All right, finished with that. Anyway, Jesus, I know you're busy with other things, but if you wouldn't mind taking the wheel a little more often, I think we'd all feel a little more at peace.
Oof.
Let's take a break. And that's right, you're hearing Haley's voice. She's back. Jesus took the wheel of the airplane, got her home safely from
He got me
good.
Home, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Back in a few.
Who's gonna tell you things aren't so great?
The song's called Jesse, not Jussie, but it's close enough. That's Carly Simon from a long time ago. Jussie Smollett back in court in your hometown, Haley.
Oh, no.
Well, it was such a weird situation. We all know that, you know, he still says he's been truthful the whole time. He didn't make any of that stuff up about the racist, homophobic attack on him in Chicago, but...
I've been truthful and consistent on every single level since day one.
You have?
I would not be my mother's son if I was capable of one drop of what I've been accused of.
Oh, my goodness. CNN, they did a lot of investigation and found out that's not true.
He uses the word consistent, but I don't think that means what he think it means.
And then you had the prosecutor there, excuse me, in Chicago, who kind of dropped all the charges, remember, and then Jussie felt pretty good about things. And then they found out that some lawyers had been talking to those Osundaro brothers. One of them, one attorney in particular, was having conversations with the Osundaro brothers and then signed on to represent Jussie Smollett. Oh, you can't do that because they're different parties in a situation, an investigation. So that lawyer was gathering information illegally to use, you know, obviously to defend the client. And a lot of people will say, well, that lawyer, the long game was to defend Jussie Smollett, but pretend like you weren't involved in the case while talking to the Osundaro brothers. Who are the guys who Jussie paid to rough him up?
And they admitted to that, didn't they? Say, yeah, yes. He paid us. This is all fake.
And remember that you saw them on the store surveillance camera buying the rope and the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he supposedly was going to Subway at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was.
He's been consistent, Terry.
Who goes to Subway at 2 a.m. when
it's
20 below zero? I don't know.
We did look that up around that time, and there were like 2 or 3 Subways in the entire Chicago metro that were open at that time. One of them just happened to be near where he was.
It was several blocks away from his condo or whatever. And then these two guys, they show on the map, you know, the two guys who showed up on the video camera. When he said, remember, he sat down with Robin Roberts and he laid out his whole story. And people started picking apart, like, wait a minute, that doesn't go. Like, here's a little bit of that conversation with Robin Roberts.
Before they came, it took them about maybe half hour to come. And during that time, I was looking at myself, just like checking myself out. I saw the bruise on my neck, you know, like the little, the rope burn around my neck. And then I smelled bleach. I know the smell of bleach. And I saw on my sweatshirt, it had marks on it, like spots on it, when you have a bad bleach job. So then I was like, there's bleach on me too. So when the police came, I kept the clothes on. I kept the rope.
So you had the rope on the entire time?
I mean, it wasn't like wrapped around, but yeah, it was around because I wanted them to see. I wanted them to see what this was.
He thought through that. But remember, prior to this whole incident, he had a letter that was like, you know, in those movies where the crazy stalker or whatever sends somebody a threatening note, but they cut out words from magazines and then they paste them to... to say, like, I'm
ransom, yeah,
you.
Right.
Like it was an 80s serial killer movie.
Yeah, one of those things. And it was supposedly a racist, homophobic attack in the letter. And then he put it on social media, and everybody kind of went, oh, whatever. And so he didn't get any attention from that. So he had to think up a kind of a broader plan. And this was really about negotiating a better contract, but he needed some more prominence.
Needed some leverage, right?
Yeah, and he was making a lot less than other castmates on that show. I forgot the name of the show. Empire, is that it?
Yes.
And so it was all went into this whole thing about he needed a way to get attention and clicks and all that. It's like he came up with this whole thing. These two Trump fans beat him up at 2 a.m. when he was walking with a tuna fish sandwich.
Well, you know, Chicago is MAGA country.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
What they said to him. This is MAGA country, and used the N-word and called him a homophobic slur. And it's like, people are like, what, Chicago? I don't know if I've seen any of those. Well, whatever. Anyway, he was back in court today because they're picking apart this whole thing about this lawyer kind of interviewing those Usandaro brothers who, remember, after this incident, suddenly they flew back to their home country. Remember how all that happened, too?
That's right. Just very suddenly.
It was like a Sopranos episode because the Sopranos would occasionally ask people to come over from the homeland, Italy, and do some nefarious deed and then immediately fly them out of the country. So
the thought of him in his mind, if this crime was real, thinking, oh, I'm going to keep the rope around my neck. My dude, you can take it off and there's still the DNA on it. You don't need to keep wearing it.
He needed it for the effect of it all.
Of course he did. But how horrible.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, some Jesse, people, they get weird ideas and they just act on them. And it happens all the time. I mean, mothers with that Munchausen syndrome, they want attention for themselves.
Munchausen's by proxy. It's so fascinating.
Oh, yeah. But it's just that, you know, people sometimes they just get into a weird state and they're like, what can I do? What can I do to get attention? Or they drive their truck into a metro correction.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But he wouldn't be his mother's son if he did any of that, Terry.
That's what he said.
He's telling the truth.
What does his mother have to say about this? She's been very supportive of him, but I mean, that is an odd thing to say.
I would not be my mother's son if I was capable of one drop of what I have been accused of.
I guess once you bring up your mom's name, people think, well, he must be telling the truth. He said that about his mom, and nobody said that about their mom.
Ugh. It's the easiest, dumbest trick in the book. You're not gaining anyone's sympathy, Jesse.
Robin Roberts got played on that one. But that stuff happens. Sometimes you think, you know, how competitive it is on those morning shows. Gayle mm-hmm. King's over there on CBS and Savannah Guthrie's over there on the Today Show. And it's like, we got Jesse Smollett. We got him. Exclusive. Start the promos. Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, Jesse Smollett. And CBS and the Today Show are going, oh, no, he's the most talked about story in the world. We wanted him, but we're not getting him.
Do you think somewhere in that negotiation, Oprah kind of called Gayle and was like, you know, maybe you should pass on this one for a while. This one, something doesn't sit right with me.
Just take a step back on this one. We'll let Robin take care of it.
We haven't heard what happened in court today in Chicago, but the Chicago news outlets are following the story, and I'm sure they'll update us breathlessly on what he is. Hey, you know what today is? It's 7/14/21. Ooh. That's kind of cool, isn't it? 7 times 2 times 3. It's just one of those odd occurrences like that.
I was like, what's the significance?
Yeah, there you go. So
the number of the day is
7.
7.
So that's the number. Yes,
that's the number of the day.
If you're playing the lottery, whatever that game is where you get three numbers, probably try that one. 7/14/21. See if that hits tonight. Or 7/7/7. I don't know.
Yeah, that's too lucky.
Yeah, it would be. It's kind of obvious, too. It's Haley and the Knobs. We got Haley back from a foreign country and didn't have to go through the U.S. Embassy. It's all good.
Thank goodness. We're not back again, at least.
Back in a couple minutes here on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Haley and the Knobs. Haley's back in the country. We missed you, Haley.
Thank you. I'd like to say it's nice to be back, but, I mean, Notion's pretty cool.
It's not as hot, though.
That is true, but I don't get all-you-can-drink daiquiris.
Well, maybe if you had married someone better than Pat, you would.
Well, that's a good point.
Any other points of interest over your weekend that you care to share with us?
Yes. I don't know if this is legal for me to say, but on the beach, they have these guys walking around selling you, you know, jewelry or hats or blankets or whatever. And this guy brought his wares to our cabana. And I'm looking through and I'm like, thank you so much. No, no. And he looks over at Patrick and goes, Senor, marijuana? And we went, what? And Pat politely had to say, no, no, thank you. It's really appreciated. We loved your toe rings, but we're going to have to pass on that. And he shrugged. He's like, okay, have a great day. But it was like, that's bold.
He didn't even ask, didn't even throw you a price?
No. No, he was like, marijuana, we have a gram, we have an ounce. I was like, I just kind of wanted a little ankle bracelet with some dolphins on it. But
see, I
guess
thought marijuana whatever. Just grew on the trees there in Mexico and then you just go and pick your own. So
at least not on the resort I was at.
It just seems like it's prevalent. So,
but,
you
know, I liked it. You don't have that on beaches here, at least not that I've seen.
Well, depends on the beaches. I bet you can do that in California or...
Not
any trouble
right
with
beaches.
Getting through customs, getting home?
None at all. Not even a little bit. I waltzed through.
Did they ask you? Did anyone come to your cabana and ask about marijuana?
And I just shook and I said, no, of course not, Mr. TSA agent. Not my cabana.
Good night, everybody. Talk tomorrow.